like to hear no answers like that. This net is conducted weekly. I'm sorry, I just had a momentary distraction. Forgive me. Let's start that again. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.955. The repeater, the 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Alpine, New Jersey. All radio amateurs are welcome to participate. To access the net, or access the repeater, use a 141.3 PL, or you can go in via Echolink, and do K2FJ-L for link. This is a good opportunity to participate. Now, this net is a little different than other nets. Let me explain. This net is really a conversation, and it's open to all radio amateurs, by the way. And this conversation is about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the underlying science and technology that we use or depend upon. It's also about our operating experiences, what we've done, what we've tried, what we never want to do or try again. And, of course, things that we would aspire to do as well. So it's all good. In any case, with no further ado, let's talk about how we check in. We check in with our call sign, our name, and then we give an indication of whether you have a question, a comment, a for sale swap or wanted item, or some combination of those things, or none of the above. You might ask, why in God's name would I want to check in if I have nothing to contribute? Because that helps us gauge how we should focus on the topics of the net. And also, we might need to ask you a question or tap on you as a resource. So don't be shy, and even if you don't have a direct comment or question or for sale swap or wanted item, feel free to check in anyway. We really appreciate it if you do. So, we do this by call sign group. So let's start tonight with something different. Let's start with the November station. Good evening, Noel. Your one question so noted. Any other Novembers?
And 2NBR. Nothing at this time.
Okay, John, I got you. Any other Novembers? Alrighty, let's move to Whiskey 2s. Actually, all Whiskey, sorry.
Whiskey India, 2 Whiskey, Steve. I'm looking to purchase something, and I have a brief comment.
Good evening, Gordon. WA2QBC, no traffic.
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
JEK, Don with a comment.
Leo U2S, Randy, Washington Township, with 2 brief comments.
Alrighty, well, okay. You guys kind of gave me rapid fire. Good news is I knew who you all are. So I have Steve with a wanted item and a comment. I have Bruce. I have Jim. I have Don with a comment. And I have Randy with 2 comments. Are there any other whiskeys?
W2LCM, my name is Rick from Bloomingdale. Just listening in tonight.
Okie dokie, anybody else in the whiskey? Alrighty, then let's go to the next group, and that's going to be stations whose call signs begin with Kilo 2.
Kilo 2, Echo, India Romeo, Howie in Tarrytown, none of the above.
K2AMI, Tony, no questions, no comments yet.
Mike, double with you, Tony, but I got your answer, so welcome aboard. Kilo 2, am I acknowledged? Anybody else with a Kilo 2?
Kilo 2, Zulu, Charlie, Dave, none of the above.
2 EIR, Howie and Tarrytown, none of the above.
Gotcha, Howie. I'm sorry, I didn't acknowledge you before. Sorry, I got you the first time. Any other Kilo 2s? Alright, all of the Kilos, please.
Kilo Delta 2, Fox Tango Alpha, Alex in Oak Ridge, just listening in tonight.
Katie 2, BOR, none of the above.
Okay, I've got Alex and Rocky. Anybody else with a Kilo call?
KC 2, VMA, none of the above, Big Horse.
Very good. By the way, Marco, I ran into N2ZZK, Bob, who you may or may not know from Barra. He was walking around with a 91AD tonight at our church carnival and asked me to show him how to do some basic FM programming. But if you're in the mood, I can program a 91AD. He'd probably use your help. Yours or Carl's. Anyway, moving along, any other Kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Golf Golf Romeo, William Teaneck, just listening.
Gotcha, William. Any other Kilos? Okay, let's move along to the Alphas.
AA2WP, Willie P. Just lurking tonight.
Anything, Bill?
Any other Alpha?
AC2GI, Rich, with one question.
Most excellent. Thank you, Rich. I got your question noted. Any other Alphas?
Okay, anybody on EchoLink? Okay, I didn't check into EchoLink, so I don't really know. So, okay, then we'll go with that. All right, any other call signs, any call sign type, please call K2BAR.
WE2R, Charlie, I'm not sure if you got me, Gordon.
No, I did not, Charlie. I did not hear you. I apologize. Thank you. Any other stations?
Nancy 2, Juliet Delta Hotel.
Good evening, Andre. What's your pleasure?
I'll sit behind the scope and let you guys do what you do.
Okay, very fine. Anybody else? Yeah, KD2 again, please. Was that Hotel Tango Victor?
Hotel Delta Tango.
Okay, very good. And your name, sir?
Mark from Rutherford.
Very good, Mark. Yeah, KD2HDT. Welcome to Ham Radio, by the way. Your relatively new call. I don't think we've worked before. Welcome to the net. Any other stations? Any call signs? Let's go to W2JEK. Don, it's all yours. W2TTT, KQBAR.
KQBAR in the net, W2JEK. Good evening, everyone. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, the Barra Club will be running a hand VE test session at the Westwood Regional High School. That will be at 7 o'clock. And anybody coming will either need a social security number or an FRN number. They're already licensed and want to see your license and a copy of that license. Test fee is $15. Need one photo ID, like a driver's license or a passport, or two non-photo IDs. Want to bring a calculator, that's fine. And memory has to be empty, but it has to be a calculator. It can't be a cell phone or an iPod or some other device.
I'll turn it back to Nat, see if anybody has any questions for me. Go ahead, Gordon. Okay, very good. Anybody?
KC2, all right.
KC2,
WTR, and they'll sign you in. What's your pleasure?
Hey, this one's on. I can't make that test tomorrow night. I got to work overtime.
Okay, Rob, thank you, and I'll have enough. Thank you very much. Back to net, W2JEK.
Thanks much. Does anybody have any questions about upcoming test sessions or licensing in general? Please call KQBAR. Okay, thank you very much. Anything else, Don?
Yeah, one thing, they haven't had a lot of publicity about it, but people who have expired ham licenses that were a general or advanced or extra class, far beyond the 2-year grace period, and get their licenses back or credits without examination credits, first would have to take the current technician exam, 35 question written exam. Then they would get, passing that, they would get a, they had a general license, they could get credit for the Element 3, which is a general license exam. If they had an extra class license, they would get a credit for the general and the extra class license exams, and then the extra class license back. Question with an advanced class will get credit for it, the only, will we give them an extra general class license. You will not get your old call sign back. Program if you want to change call sign. But it hasn't been a widely advertised thing, and if you know somebody that's been out of ham radio a while and might be interested in getting back in, and he says, you're going to have to take all these tests all over again. You just have to do the technician exam. And also tell them we don't do push code exams anymore. Back to net, W2JEK.
Yeah, an added point. That's very important for a lot of people. Very good. Anybody else have any follow-up for Don? Okay, Don, anything more?
Obviously, the question is, had the expired license, we'd have to have some kind of proof that he had to, had a license at that time, what his call was, or whatever. Page out of the call book would be one thing. There are other sources also, the ORL's website, back to the W2JEK.
Roger, and I don't think you have a ORL email account, do you, Don?
No, I don't have one. It goes through the BARA. There's a thing for exams, I think, and it's BARA or something like that. You can get to me that way.
That's fine. That's very, very helpful, and yeah, you can always go there and reach out to Don if you have any questions as to what might be available for those options for credentialing somebody who's trying to get back into ham radio after having a long-term lapse. It's a very nice program, just getting your technician exam under your belt, and you restore whatever your former license class is. And if your former call is still available, you can go spend, what, $15 and go get a vanity call, so it's all good. Alrighty, thank you very much for that. Alrighty, our next person with a question is Rich, AEC2GI. So let's go to Rich, K2BAR.
K2BAR, AEC2GI. I'm lucky enough to have some vacation time coming up, and I've built probably 4 different antennas that I'm going to be playing with all next week along the way. And while I was at Jean's on Saturday, I picked up 2 40-meter hamsticks in that little adapter to try to make a hamstick dipole. And my question is, the mast that's on it, since the bracket itself is attached to one of the elements of the dipole, does that bracket, that the mast, have to be insulated or can it be metal? That's the first part of the question, and I'll give it back to Ned.
It doesn't much matter. If it's insulated, it'll tune up differently than if it's not. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Next part of that question, I also picked up AA54 antenna analyzer that I'm really just learning with. I've never played with one before. And I'm trying to get a hint as to when do I shorten the antenna and when do I lengthen the antenna?
Great question. So with the antenna analyzer, you can vary the frequency, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So if you have a high SWR, let's say at 7,200 megahertz, 7.2 megahertz, pardon me. It's high. And so what you do is you put your analyzer on, start rolling it up and down to see where you get a low SWR. If the frequency is lower, then you're going to want to shorten your antenna. And if it's higher, then you're going to want to lengthen the antenna.
All right, give me the two frequencies again, where I started and where I adjusted to.
I'm in.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Rich, WI2W. On your analyzer, you can select one of the buttons that will give you an SWR graph, and then if you press the set button, it will give you all the different bands, and then you just pick a number for the band. So the band for 40 meters is number 3. So first you select the SWR graph button, and then you press set, and then you press number 3. When you press OK, you'll get a sweep of the whole band, and it'll show you where your resonant point is. And if you want it to go lower in frequency, make it longer. That's the easy way to remember it. Lower for longer, or longer for lower. Using that analyzer makes tuning up the antennas a real piece of cake. WI2W.
Okay, Steve, thank you very much. And I'll give it back to Ned, AC2GI.
Yes, Steve, thank you for that, what I'll call device-specific instructions.
Yeah, you basically, if you want to make the resonant point lower in frequency than what you have, you add lower, longer, that's the old system rule, and higher, shorter.
So you have to look to see where it is.
Some of us have other antenna analyzers, so you have the MFJ, or you have,
what's the other one I have here? The Comet.
It doesn't do a nice little plot, but we'll still do the trick. But congratulations on the new analyzer. That's a nice little toy. Which frequency range did you get?
6 to 60.
Okay, so you essentially have the HF radio one, because I think they have one for VHF, a separate model, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, very nice. Yep. That'll make your life easy. Real quick, does the AEA have have the interface to your computer so you can save those plots?
Yes, it does.
Another compelling reason. I mean, you trade off the VHF, UHF coverage for those kind of features, and that's really sweet. I think, Steve, you said you had one, too. I seem to remember that now. All right. Is there anything else on this topic from anybody?
K2EIR.
There was Howie and then somebody else. Who was it, somebody else?
Noel.
Okay, Howie first, then Noel. And by the way, Noel, we're done. You're the next question. So go ahead, Howie.
Okay, when I've done a hamstick dipole on 40 meters, I made myself a little pigtail coax that went into my dipole mount. And that was terminated with the shield and the center conductor where I could put it into a LDG ballon, and then I ran the coax to the SO239 of the LDG. What I want to say is I have no results to share with you, but if you do use an insulated mask, this will give you complete isolation of the dipole. The other way of looking at it is if you do let the feed line radiate, you've got more waves of radiating the signal since the feed line may be longer than the antenna, may give you a little efficiency, but it just points out that there are various ways of doing it, and it's handy to have a little pigtail to make up one or two of these things with a PL-259 on one end and maybe 3 inches of coax that just separate open-ended on the other. K2EIR.
Yeah, let me also point out that you know, the use of a ballon just under the feed point and possibly even a line isolator in front of the radio will do a long, it'll take you a long way. If you're not doing QRP, if you're doing like the 50 or 100 watt, you know, portable QRP, I mean portable setup with, let's say, 50 or 100 watts, you really want those extra little features in there to help make your life easy. That will keep a lot of the RFI from, you know, getting into your radio and being a mess. I used to have that problem with my 7000 and with other portable radios I've taken. I used to take a 746 Pro and even my Flex 5000. When I take that portable, which, by the way, I'll be doing next month, the end of October, should be, a treat, and we'll go from there with that. But it really does help to have those little things because it keeps the RF, stray RF down, it keeps the RF going out the antenna and keeping out of your microphone and all of the power leads and all of that stuff. Anybody else with comments on this?
Commenting on the first part of the question.
Go right ahead, Noel. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Okay. The bracket that he has to hold the 240-meter hamsec started out as a CB bumper mount, the mount on the mirror. I have one for 260-meter antennas, so you can make a dipole. Very convenient. Problem is, clamp it to a metal mirror on the car, bumper in that case, or bent railing, metal railing. Whatever metal object you clamp it to becomes part of the radiating system of the ham connected to the coax shield. Uncertain results. Happens to be near a noise source, may get noise. If you're trying to do this off the side of a building, you probably want the ham stick isolated by itself so you can get away from the building noises on the power wires and stuff. The second part of my comment would be that you probably want to break the common mode current with a choke of some sort. It could be a double round, double turn coax, approximately a diameter or so, so you don't get common mode current. Or you bear right, several companies sell ready-made. Palmer Engineering is one of my favorites. So I think you're better off using antenna as a ham stick with both ham sticks active and not have the feed line radiating and not have the railing radiating. That comment back to that end, William.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is true. But, you know, all things considered, if you have a problem, it's no big deal. Just for your reference, I have one of those on my backyard, one of my backyard towers, holding up what essentially is an almost 15-meter set of antennas. They were actually started life as 12-meter hamsticks, but I put very long whips on them and got it down to about 22 megahertz for resonance, which was fine. And I stuck it up there just to have something that's rotatable, let's say for 15, 12, and 10 meters. It works pretty well, something horizontal. And it works pretty well. The other thing is, I will post this a couple of pictures on the ComTech group, which is our Yahoo group, along with the roster tonight. So that will be on the ComTech group. Well, I think
Let's see. Yeah, actually, you know what? I have one that's been used, and I have one in the package. I know Gene sells them, and I know Advanced Specialty sells them. So I'll send both pictures up, one out of the package and one in, so you get a sense for what we're talking about here. But essentially, it's a CB trucker mount with an extra on a piece of metal that is a little longer to accommodate a U-bolt and the other 3/8-24 interface, which by the way is grounded. I mean, to the base of the thing, so it forms a dipole anyway. But all these are great comments. Anybody else? One more, K2EIR.
Sure, how do you go?
I haven't ever used it, but I did buy, I think from Advanced Specialties, a right angle mount so that if you need to put these hamsticks in confined space, you can put them at right angles to each other, for example, on the floor of a room. So that they can make that little device too. That you can, you know, it has the 3/24-inch threads. Of course, it could be used on anything. It's not just for hamsticks, but that's what I got it for, and I know what other people use it for. So, once again, there is a right angle, actually a flexible mount. It could be, any angle from 180 down to 90. K2EIR.
Very good, very good.
Stand by one. My other radio just blacked out. I have no idea why. That was very interesting. Not sure what was going on there, but anyway, it came back. All right, we'll just swap radios. Real quick, Howie, my signal good?
Now I can read you on the input. Not before I couldn't.
Yeah, I'm well aware. Now I'm using a G7-144 and, you know, 30 watts or so. Before I was using a couple of milliwatts out of an old 2-meter radio that's got a fried final and, you know, a tri-band vertical right on the house. Big difference. Anyway, what I was saying was I noticed, and maybe you can, you know, you can clarify this for me, Rich. Did your mount come with a stud so that it's bonded directly, the second 3/24 socket is bonded directly to the metal, or did it come as a, what's it called, a dual antenna aluminum mirror mount?
The bracket is almost where the, what would go on the mirror mount or on the mast is of the bracket, and yeah, it looks like it would clamp around anything. Right now I have it on a painter's pole that I'm playing with, but the painter's pole is metal, and I didn't know if that was an issue, so I was going to put a plate end on it, you know, whether it be wood or plastic or something like that, to get it off the metal. The bracket itself is in the shape of a T. One of the mounts has the SO39. I forget that one right. Connector on the end of it, and the other one goes in the opposite direction, just holds the hamstick back to net.
Okay, very good. This stuff is marketed by Procom. Typically, they come in like a reddish pink blister pack. But on each side of that U-bolt mount, when you bought it, did it come with two sockets, or did it come, I mean, meaning two 3/8-24 sockets each with their own SO239 on the other side of the bracket insulated, and you just take the insulator out, or did you with only one SO239 and a stud to go into the other mount on the other side?
All right, there's only one SO239, and the studs and everything were on it. It wasn't in parts. I got it from Gene at our Hamfest in May.
Yeah, I'm going to take a picture of what came in my package. I've got two different ones. One came with a stud, and the other one came as a dual CB mount, but you can do the same thing. All you do is pull the insulator out and ignore the second SO239. So I'll post both. So you ever get in a store and they don't have the dipole mount you want, you can get the dual antenna aluminum mirror mount and do the same thing. You just flip it over, pull the insulator out of one, and ignore the second SO239. Using it basically as a stud, or you can get really crazy and go get yourself a small 3/8-24 bolt and plug it in the other side instead of the SO239. Doesn't much matter, it's the same difference. But yeah, these are great things, and I will post these to ComTech Group. ComTech Group is our Yahoo group, as I started to say before when power dropped out, and it basically is where we have a repository of information for folks. It's also where we've been keeping our rosters. And finally, it's also, there's another place. You can go to amateurradio.tv, www.amateurradio.tangovictor, and you can listen to past nets going back about 8 years. So other than the first three, they're all there. That's how we actually did the chronology of this net was we've kind of forgotten when we started. Anyway, it's all good. And Rich, any more from you?
No. Thanks to everybody for your comments and suggestions. And back to net, EC2GI.
Real quick, what do you tend to use this antenna with? What kind of radio? How much power?
Just 100 watts coming out of the FT450D.
Yeah, you're definitely going to want to, at minimum, put the line isolator before the radio down by the radio side of this thing if you're going to be, you know, up close and personal, let's say within 40, 50 feet of this thing, the antenna. And the other is a Balun would be a wonderful thing. And I think Noel's advice is also good advice about conductive noise, but that may or may not be a problem. When I've used things like that portable, that's why I have these extra mounts. I've not run into that. Mine is more like RFI back into myself. So the having the line isolator and possibly a Balun would certainly be a huge improvement. All right, very good. I'll post those to the ComTech Group email list, and anyone who wants to get on the ComTech Group can go find it on Yahoo Groups and ask. Or they can shoot me an email at W2TangoTangoTango@att.net or ARRL.net. Same difference. All righty, with no further ado, Mr. Noel, it's all yours at 2AL K2BAR.
This is N2AL. I have a comment first. Apple, in their magnificent glory, has released iOS 8. It's 957 megabytes. It's a heck of a big operating system for a lousy phone. I downloaded it, and it's been chomping away doing the installation for approximately 40 minutes so far, and the line's about 3/4 of the way. And I find that amazing, too. Now, the question, and we may have already just partially answered it, if one was going to get stuck in a hotel room for a couple months, where you can't open the window and put an antenna out, for 2 meters, the J-pole works wonderful. Back in the days, 1989, one of the things that was commonly for sale, maybe 79, come to think of it, for CB ears, was an antenna that had four suction cups. It was a loop of wire, and you stuck it to a window, regular window, you know, a couple feet wide and 2.5 feet high. Stick it on there and you tune it with this little knob. That got me to thinking, if you were in a hotel room for a couple of months, have a way to get a wire outside, is there something like that for the ham bands? Or would this ham stick, upper and lower ham stick, be a good idea? Is there a foot or two in front of the window? for one of the loop antennas that we saw at the Centennial, what would be a way to get out, for instance, on 20 meters? Back to that, Antoil.
Yeah, go ahead, Don.
I built an antenna, it's not designed for high power. It's called a rock loop. The name of it, you Google the word rock loop. It's Rocky, N-I-S-C-H, who now is out with E. And he is an antenna loop. It's actually made out of just electrical wire, 14 gauge wire or something. The side of it has it's on 34 inches on the side, so it's a square loop. Name that lace. Has a little transformer that you're using the A50.2 right core. The other side is the broken, and they have a capacitor in there, which tunes the Christmas tree light bulb to the output indicator and the tuning indicator. I've used this thing at 23 meters, and I have made contact with it. Not near the window, which might do the trick. Very frequency sensitive, of course. Something I found, I have a drop in a second. We have a Tentec QRP transceiver, the model 13. They made us have this loop, and I used this radio with my outside ground plane, and I was picking up Ochoa, which is 44, which is the IF frequency in this radio, and it comes in as an S9 signal. Hear it in the background. But knowing that it's there, I can still use the radio. But I spoke into this Rockwell thing, and I don't know for the radio for the 20 meter frequency, you wouldn't hear the dweller. But we're going to try a situation like that. Back to that, W2JK.
Any other advice? To EIR. Go ahead, Ali.
First, I have to ask Noel a question. Noel, what would be the construction of this, quote, hotel room? Are we talking a brick and steel, concrete and steel building, or are we talking about wood frame construction? It makes a difference with an indoor antenna.
Approximately the fifth floor of a substantially built building with a metal frame and very thick walls. And in fact, if you're on the wrong side of the building, you couldn't even hit the repeater. You have to be on the correct side of the building to unless you can bounce it off another building nearby.
Yeah, so my idea probably wouldn't work very well, but I'll just point out that back in the 60s, my brother got a 20-meter Heathkit monobander. We took some magnet wire. We were on a six-story brick building on a line of a Bronx block that was just filled with one of these buildings next to another. And we just strung the magnet wire as a 20-meter dipole, and there wasn't enough room in our bedroom, so we did it on one wall for one leg and the other wall for the other leg. And our first contact on single sideband was Germany. So, depending on the construction and your luck, you can work out with a wired dipole. And just point out that you can bend a dipole, you can drop the ends vertically, et cetera, et cetera. It's highly portable. You can put it up with scotch tape or masking tape. And, you don't have to worry about losses to the loading coils, but it's one way to go. K2EIR.
WIQW.
Go ahead, Steve.
Noel, if said hotel room had a fast internet connection, I think a much better solution would be to set up a remote station where you used your station at home with real antennas and then connect it to it via the internet.
That's not particularly fast Wi-Fi, and staff of the hotel, the last time, had great difficulty with Gordon's J-pole, great difficulty. In fact, at that time, I had to prove that it ran off of batteries, and then they approved it, because they looked at that J-pole and they said, electrocute somebody. No, it's only running on an 8 battery, see? And they were a little bit fussy. Excellent.
Yeah, it was one of those ignorance is bliss, and they weren't blissful type problems. They were just ignorant.
One more comment.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Noel, maybe you want to get a wireless internet connection that you can bring with you so you don't have to rely on the internet connection that's in the building. And maybe one of our telephone-oriented tech gurus might suggest something to you that'll give you enough bandwidth to do that remote station. I think you'll have much better luck on HF doing that than you will with some kind of a small loop or something inside the hotel room. By the way, a loop is very narrow-banded, and if you move just a kilohertz or two, you're going to constantly be retuning it. So it's not the kind of antenna where you're going to be scanning the bands up and down until you find somebody you want to talk to. It's a tuned loop is really a fixed-frequency antenna until you retune it.
Hey, Steve, hold on. Do you want me to say something after I crawl out from under the bus? Yeah, I got that point. That was thinly veiled. Yes, Noah, you can use your data plan and a hotspot off your phone or whatever other device you might have to provide your broadband access. That would be very wise. You could just leave that powered up and plugged in near a window and you're all good.
Problem is, when I'm out in the sticks, I can't even bring up EchoLink. I don't have enough bandwidth.
Yeah, but you're not going to be in the sticks during your rehab period, right?
No, heck and sex, but I could see the 955 antenna from some of the windows.
Okay, is this the same place you were in last time?
I presume it will be.
Okay, yeah. You know, you should be able to use your cell data. You have a nice data plan. I happen to know this. So that would be the way to get your broadband. Do you have a hotspot on your phone or on another device you can bring?
Well, I can pay $5 a day, but unfortunately what they do is they meter you, and after they don't want you to be downloading movies, but after a certain amount of downloads, they bring you down to a crawl. If I started using broadband for the radio extensively, I'm afraid I would go over my plan limits at $15 a gigabyte that can get to be expensive.
No. Slow down there, buddy. You know, look, for ham radio purposes, your data consumption is going to be very, very minimal. You've got, what, a 10 gig plan now? The worst case is you added, you know, you add another 10 gigs for $50 and you're done.
KD2CAK.
KD2CAK, your name, how can we help you?
This is Ari. I was just checking in, maybe throwing a comment there if you're talking about Hackensack Hospital.
Yeah, we're talking about a rehab place down the street, but yeah, go ahead.
I was able to hit this repeater the other day from the parking garage at Hackensack Hospital, so you might have a decent plan with a walkie-talkie, and I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about the hospital because they may also have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, no, that's fine. The rehab place he's in does not have public Wi-Fi, right? Is that right, Noel?
It has their Wi-Fi system. They put it in the last time. It did not have it before, but that has it now. And it's, I don't remember, $5 a day, $7 a day. It's pretty hefty. And only for one device. And I couldn't use my phone as a hotspot with the phone connected to the Wi-Fi. I need a laptop in order to feed that through. To use, for instance, to feed it through the laptop, and then I can use the phone and everything else. The problem with that, of course, is most of the time you want the phone to be the primary because you're listening to music when you're stuck in some corner, dank, dark corner. Hackensack Hospital, the parking garage is wonderful. I used to go up there with 10 meters and an antenna on the roof and FM I could work way down towards the shore, and I could work way out in Long Island, because it's line of sight. However, when you're in the hospital proper, they built and they added, and they built and they added, and the last time I was in there, I had a window, but it went into a fully enclosed alley that only went straight up. There was a spot in there, maybe 10 by 30 or something, but it was rooftops below me, and it was two or three stories above me. And Rich, WP2WPQ, was trying to bring up any repeater, and we could not get anything out with his HD, what, 440 or 2 meters at all, nothing. It's just too far inside, too much electrical noise, and too much shielding, and too oil.
This is Noel with the camper.
Didn't hear you.
So is this the Noel with the RV?
Yes.
Hey, this is Ari. I hope you remember me. How's that receiver working?
Which receiver? The 208?
Oh, the Kenwood.
5,000?
Sir?
Oh, it's great. I have it up at the country house. And Gary was up there having a great time with it. He loves the selectivity compared to the shortwave receivers we had before. Hook it up to a DSP so we don't get hits and stuff. And then we just leave it there and use a very good quality hi-fi speaker. This way you don't get too much of the garbage. Communication quality speaker are sometimes better for listening. But anyways, and we don't get the electric fence noise. The only time I get the electric fence noise is when I switch my hearing aid to telecoil, and I can hear the electric fence when I get over to one side of the building. Of course, the telecoil also allows me to pick up the theft detection system at Walmart and the hospital announcements at Hackensack Hospital, because they have a loop system there that transmits, I guess, to the housekeeping staff. Hacknet, Antonio.
Comment, WHQ.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, there's an extensive Wi-Fi network in the Metro New York area run by Cablevision, Comcast, Time Warner for their customers. So if you happen to know somebody on that network or you have a service, you may be able to use that network, internet on Wi-Fi.
I just switched to Fios. Alas, alas.
Well, wait a minute. Maybe someone could help out Noel while they're in the hospital. Well, he's in the hospital, actually, while he's in hospital and or in rehab, by creating a guest account. I think you can add, I think under Optimum's Wi-Fi rules, you can have like 5 or 6 logins for your Wi-Fi. Is that correct?
Yes, hi.
Multiple logins are possible. Also, someone can register Noel's MAC address as a valid device for Wi-Fi.
Right, so maybe someone who is a Optimum customer who's a good sport could get with him before he goes to the hospital and set up the thing to make sure it all works. And that way when he gets to the hospital, he'll have, you know, public Wi-Fi that should work. But even if that setup doesn't work, Noel, should you get in a pickle, I can, assuming you're not going to stream movies endlessly, if you have a access point problem just don't have the right combination of devices, I might have a router I can lend you for a couple of weeks while you're in rehab, but I would prefer not to because it's kind of clunky looking, and you know, people get a little edgy about that kind of stuff that rehab device, you know, rehab place. I mean, I can see me walking in with a 12-inch NEMA 3R plastic case with funky antennas sticking out of it and a power supply under my arm. That's going to fly real well, but it would work.
I would put it in the upper cupboard. The last time I was there, or the previous time, I don't remember which, I got a list of all the hotspots in the area. I was an Optimum customer at the time, and I did the search. Could not pick up any Wi-Fi signals either with my iPad nor my iPhone. Perhaps if I had a gain antenna, which I do now, stuck it out the window or near the window and aimed it at one of the points. But I was looking at there are hot spots in various stores along Main Street, and I'm basically overlooking it. Unfortunately, I'm overlooking it from four or five blocks. So I couldn't pick up anything as far as Wi-Fi is concerned. I picked up a couple local ones very faintly from the apartment house around me, but it's pretty desolate up there in that fifth floor. Of course, I can see the 955 repeater way out in the distance.
Well, I think we'll go with the, the notion of, getting you, some cellular access and a 2-meter rig. That should be fine. Do you need another J-Pole, or do you have one still?
This time I'm going to use J-Pole with a 208H, and I'm not going to suffer from lack of power.
Got it. So you'll have a little power supply, you'll be all set.
Got that little Astra on the 25-ampere, but since that'll be running low power most of the time, probably won't get by with a 10.
That's fine. All right. Anything more on this topic, Noel?
Kill the subject. It's been done. Back to net. This is NTOIL.
Very good. Thank you for your questions. It's a good question. Mr. Randy, WE2S, you have a couple of comments, I think. So, KQBAR.
Thank you, Gordon. Good evening to everyone on the net. Two relatively brief comments. The first has to do with antenna construction. We were having conversations last Friday about various antennas to construct from bits and pieces that one has laying around or gets at the hardware store. And so I just wanted to remind folks that there are some things that are useful. One thing that I've found works well in building dipoles and other wire antennas is when putting the end of the wire through an insulator like a dog bone insulator or through an eye bolt that you're going to connect it to a ballon. There's all kinds of ways of securing that wire to the insulator. And people tie knots and tape them and do all sorts of other crazy things. One of the things I found that works best is using a small split bolt connector that you can get at any of the hardware stores. And they come in some fairly, the smallest size will deal with number 8 to number 10 wire. So if you have a dipole made out of number 14 stranded insulated wire and you're going to run it through a dog bone insulator or an eye bolt and then back on itself and through this split bolt connector, it makes it very easy to cinch it up. And the advantage of doing it this way is that after you get it up in the air and you do your measurements, you want to take it down and adjust it. You can quickly adjust it with the split bolt connector.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Anybody have any thoughts for Randy? All right, Randy, let's go on to the other subject.
Okay. Also, related to the antenna, I was going to mention that using marine-grade bungee cords at the end, if you're hanging them in trees, so you can get it'll take up some of the movement, works well, too. The other brief comment is that with some improvements in the mesh network software, an experimental release was posted a day or so ago, and I just established four nodes here in the lab. I've got two Linksys boxes and two Ubiquiti nodes up and running. They haven't been up and running too long, but they are up and running with the experimental code version 3. And so I'll be letting those run and monitoring what happens. But so far, so good. And that's just the latest with Mesh Network. WU2S back to net control.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I haven't had a chance to download it yet and load my nodes, but Lord only knows we'd all like that. Just FYI, Randy, looking to put a node up in Alpine. The opportunity to install it is actually between now and the middle of October, actually the second weekend in October, and to coordinate with another ham. But we need to think about what we want to put up there and how tall a mast. I think I have the masting. I'll explain later, but we get an opportunity to put a very high profile node there, and it would be intriguing. I just want to see if I can find myself a 25 foot pole or 24 foot pole that's, you know, a single piece of masting that's sturdy to hold up a mesh node and a an antenna such as the one that you have on your MIMO setup. I think that would probably be the best. It'd be really cool and get us one good, you know, site. And I don't think the clearance for it's not going to be a problem. We're going to use it as a control for other things, so it'll have other advantages for everybody concerned. We'll talk more about it later, but just be aware of that. Okay.
Okay, well, thank you. That's good news. I certainly want to help with that, and given the location, I should be able to hit it from here, either with my rocket, the MIMO antenna, or the air grid for sure. So looking forward to seeing that happen. WU2S back to net.
Yep, we'll talk about that. We may need your rocket and your antenna and have to go buy another one. We may have to pass the hat to fund that, but there may be an interval issue and things like that, but before we go and, you know, get all crazy, I want to make sure it's all squared away and I have the mast and everything else we need. The other ham's smile, which I suspect we will. So deal with that next, and we'll have a good old time. So with no further ado, anything else from you, Randy?
Nothing at this time, thank you.
Thank you very much. Very good. And I'm going to upgrade my nodes as well, probably on Sunday evening. Probably you'll do that listening to the other segment. So, if there are, we have one other wanted item, I think, and a comment, I think, from Steve, WITW, K2BAR.
K2BAR, WITW. Well, I'll go in reverse order and... just on going home from Kit Night the other night, I worked KK4WYR, a 20-meter phone, and what was interesting about the contact was that Andy was at 34,000 feet somewhere over Georgia. So that was my second or third aeronautical mobile contact since I've been a ham, and it was kind of neat. It wasn't a very long contact, but Andy did tell me that the radio on the aircraft was the standard HF radio, upper sideband only, no fancy noise reduction, just dial the frequency and talk, and the shell of the aircraft was the antenna. So he couldn't tell me what kind of aircraft it was. They're not allowed to do that, but so that was fun. And the second thing is coming up in a week and a half here is Portable Day on September 27th at 10 a.m. in Pascack Brook Park up in Bergen County. A great day, just a bunch of hams with their radios, antennas, batteries, etc., descending upon Pascack Brook Park, bring a bag lunch, and prepare to smile, make a few contacts, and share everybody's friendship. It's a really fun day.
Comment. Go, comment, Mr. Rich.
Yeah, Steve, I had gotten a 737 pilot coming out of the Netherlands, heading, coming out of France, going back to the Netherlands. And I had talked to him.